Hi friends, Elle here. Just a little disclaimer before we get started. Due to some content in this episode may not be suitable for our listeners under the age of 18, so listener discretion is advised. If you want to skip to the wholesome content portion of this episode, I will put a timestamp in the description and you can just skip to that time and enjoy the rest of the show. Okay. That's it. Happy listening. Hello, friends, and welcome to our first 18 plus episode.
Scandal.
For today's episode, we actually chose to dive into one of our favorite categories from the live show, which is Drop It Like It's Hot.
Drop It Like It's Hot.
Speaking of live shows, we do have it confirmed that we will be doing a live show in Missouri. In June, con to be announced, so stay tuned for more info on that.
It's true. So if you're in Missouri around that time, you should come see us.
Absolutely. The category Drop It Like It's Hot is our category where we put all of the questions and the situations that are not suitable for those under the age of 18. They may include sexual content, boudoir, situations that we just would not be comfortable talking about in front of an audience under the age of 18, basically.
This is also the category that typically makes, content-wise, the panel 18 plus.
I actually went and reviewed all our questions, and this is absolutely the only reason this panel is 18 plus. Is because of this category. If we, like, plucked this category out, the live show instantly becomes PG-13.
Yep, as long as we keep our words in order.
Because we really don't use, like, inappropriate language in the live show anyway. It's mostly just the content from this section. So I guess if we ever wanted to do a PG-13 version, we could. It's just not as much fun that way.
And the audience seems a little bit more chill and relaxed when they know there's no kids in the room.
Well, that's kind of the reason that we put the live show under 18 plus, because you don't have to worry about accidentally saying something that may not be suitable for someone under that age group. So although, yeah, I think some of our teens, like our 16, 17 year olds, would be fine in this panel. Because honestly, this category doesn't have any more inappropriate content than a lot of like shows on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's still something that gets kind of gray area iffy when it's done live.
Mostly because we have control of our mouths, but not necessarily everyone else's.
Well, and that's at some point we will release the audio from C2E2 and you'll see exactly what we mean as far as how we do not have control over other people's mouths.
Yeah, you also get to hear my potty mouth.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. They didn't appreciate it as much as our anime convention audience does,
though. The anime kids greatly enjoy it, but I didn't even bring it all out. But that's okay. That's fine.
Know your audience.
Know your audience. Apparently, C2E2 does not appreciate Drop It Like It's Hot as much as the anime convention crowd
does. They didn't. They were not as big of a fan of this category. And it makes me sad because this is probably one of my favorite categories because the stuff in here is just so absurd.
But that's okay. Next year, we'll know better.
Today's question that we're going off of is probably the question in the live show that gets the largest reaction. Because they're just not quite sure what's going to come next. And this question gets asked, like, unreasonably often. And that question is, do you have sex in your cosplay? So, for some reason, people feel that it is appropriate, regardless of the relationship they have with another person, to ask this question of strangers.
I mean, it's like they feel completely comfortable behind that anonymity that is the internet. Weird.
I've seen people ask this in person, though. Like, that's two people they don't know.
Hella awkward.
First off, why are you asking this of someone that you do not know? Why? Like, I don't know what they think they're going to get out of it, but they always do this. And from what I've seen, it's always, like, cis men that ask this question.
So are they serious or are they trolling? Because I could see it going either way.
You know, honestly, I would love to know if anyone ever has success with this, particularly you cis straight men who send DMs starting as hi, and then if you respond to them, you get, do you have sex in your cosplay? Because what?
This is not a homework assignment by any means. Please don't do this.
Yes, please don't actually do it. But if you do this, I would love to know if it's actually successful because I don't see how it can be. Like, maybe if you do it enough times, the percentage likelihood that someone's going to respond in the way you want will happen.
Well, but then even if they respond, is the person that's responding being serious, or are they trolling because they think that they're being trolled to begin with?
So we're going to troll the troll.
Yes. Because there are only so many, like, obnoxious, rando, creepy internet comments you can take before you start shooting stuff back.
That is true. I just feel like it's by far the weirdest question, and every time we ask people, have you had this question asked of you, we always get a billion hands in the audience.
Yes.
And most of them will concur that it's people they don't know. So it's a little bit different if, like, you know, you're dating someone and they want to find out if that's a thing versus someone you don't know.
Yeah. Or, like, if you're talking to one of your close friends and just maybe it's been on your mind as a possibility for something that you might be interested in and you're curious if anybody else that you know happens to do it, then I could see that conversation coming up of, like, hey, just out of curiosity, because then you could share, like, tips on certain things that I'm sure we'll get into later in the episode. But, yeah, like, rando stranger, like, I don't need to know that. I don't want to know that.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with it either. Like, that's not what we're saying. You know, you do you, and if that's something you want to explore, like, go for it. But we find it very odd when it's someone that doesn't have that kind of relationship with the other person asking that particular question, because it makes me go straight to, like, cosplayers aren't cosplaying for your enjoyment.
No, we are not your fetish.
Like, it's just not what our purpose is. And if somebody asks me that question, my brain immediately goes to, oh, so you think my purpose in life and cosplay is to, like, fulfill your fantasy, which is totally not correct. I mean, it's the same as, like, when people solicit, you know, lewd photos from cosplayers whose content obviously does not lead to lewd content. Like, why are you asking? I mean, I guess they're hoping, again, if they ask enough times, somebody will respond the way they want.
Yeah, they're probably going with the, like, age-old trope of, well, you don't know until you ask. But you could also just not ask, and that would be okay too, because yeah, you might get that one person, but how many people have you either concerned or offended by asking randomly on the internet? I know people that legit stop taking DMs at all because of too many uncomfortable conversations that they had with random strangers on the internet.
I feel like, though, the people that do this, like, could give a crap less whether or not they offend someone.
Well, no, they just want the pics.
Right. Or they just want the answer because it gets them off in some way.
Or they just want to get a rise out of you because that's what their actual goal is and not necessarily finding out the answer to the question.
Right. You know, if you're asking a person, you know, that you kind of know or, you know, in general, sometimes this question comes out of curiosity and it is, you know, a somewhat innocent question, you know, because sometimes people are trying to understand cosplay. And they think that that's where it comes from, is more of the fetish genre as opposed to the hobby that it actually is.
Yeah. And I mean, if that's your thing, then that's totally your thing. But you don't necessarily have to make everybody else uncomfortable in the process.
Well, because I feel like people think that, like, this is part of having a cosplay girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, again, cis straight men. I haven't experienced these issues with anyone else, and I could very be wrong. But our experience with these things are cis straight men. Like, women in general are far more polite than men are in, like, hitting on you. And for some reason, some men think that this is, like, a great way to introduce themselves.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a pickup line.
Right? But a lot of these guys have this, like, fantasy of what the cosplay girlfriend is and what it's like to have a cosplay girlfriend. And I think that's why this question gets asked a lot, is they feel like this comes with the package of having the cosplay girlfriend.
But of course, I just laugh because the people I know with cosplay girlfriends and cosplay spouses would 1000 tell you that's not the case. That is not the case whatsoever. You are a luggage carrier, a bag holder, a food and water fetcher.
Well, I feel like they think that if you have a cosplay girlfriend, they're going to be running around in, like, tiny cosplay outfits all the time, like, they're at your every whim. And that's not accurate at all.
No. Now, if you are a cosplay girlfriend and that is totally your thing, you do you. But it's, yeah, I don't know anybody personally that would fit that criteria.
Yeah, I don't know anyone either who fits that criteria, but I have found that that is what a lot of, you know, particularly cis straight men think they're getting when they get a cosplay girlfriend, or it's what they would love to have if they had a cosplay girlfriend, basically.
Is that why they don't have a cosplay girlfriend?
Well, probably. I'll be honest. This question, when I was younger and was dating, came up a lot. Because the first thing a guy hears of when they hear that you're a cosplayer, they want to know if that's part of the thing. And it's like, okay, well, that's not the main point. That is not what my hobby is. But at least in that context, the question's a little bit more appropriate.
Right.
As opposed to this, like,
I mean, as long as this isn't, like, like your first, like, your opening line.
I mean, I have had it on first dates before.
Well, I guess it depends on how the first date is going, whether or not that would be an appropriate question at the time.
Well,
because your first
right.
date might not be the same as everyone else's.
Yes. And my dates in my 20s were different. Obviously, you're a little bit more, people are a little bit more, like, upfront about that kind of stuff in their early 20s. Those kind of questions tend to happen kind of early in dating, as opposed to when you're, like, in your late 20s, and then it's more like, okay, so what are you actually looking for in your life? Because now we need to be serious, because we're in our late 20s, you know?
Aw, serious is no fun.
No, not really.
But what if 1000% my seriousness in life is revolving around having sex in costumes?
Well, then that would see, and that's the thing. It's all based on, like,
it's all relative.
Yes, it is all relative.
This is another know your audience question, except instead of for us, it's for you. You need to make sure that you know your audience and whether or not this question is appropriate for them.
Obviously, a lot of guys, when they ask this question, particularly if they don't know you or they think that that's what comes with a cosplay girlfriend, they're also going to assume that they are going to get sexy female cosplay all the time. But then if you get someone like me, who crossplays 75% of the time, you're going to be very disappointed.
You get sexy crossplay instead.
Which, I mean, for some people, as we've learned through the panel, would totally be their thing. So.
Absolutely.
I mean, I do get hit on a lot more often in crossplay than I ever do not, so.
And physically assaulted by her friends.
Yes. That's only in Chat Noir, though, because I'm in a full leather bodysuit and everyone needs to hit my ass.
That is not an invitation by any means. Do not do that.
No, please don't do that to people in full leather bodysuits. My friends had permission to...
Yes. Cosplay does not equal
consent. It does not. But I can tell you that people have gotten disappointed to both find out that I am not a guy, but also that I do cosplay most of the time. Both spectrums.
It'll be okay. They'll get over it.
Knowing, obviously, that we don't really want to be part of people's fetishes, because that is not how we're rolling. And if any of you have any, like, crazy DM stories and you want to send them to us, please do, because we would love to do an entire episode on that, because I know that all of you have had crazy DMs happen.
So the thing that I always think of with this is, can you just imagine, like, our competition pieces just taking them off? I mean, yeah, we wear some crossplay and some more casual attire from time to time, but, like, when we're all dolled up, like, caked on makeup, falsies, wigs, wig caps are not sexy at all. And just, like, if I've been wearing it, like, I feel sticky and my hair feels gross and dirty and I might have, like, fake nails on and, like, false eyelashes are, like, halfway melting off and I'm sweaty and just, ugh. Like, can you imagine taking off the butt in any way, like, remotely sexy, like, to some bow chicken wow wow music? Like, for real, like,
I mean,
ew.
If you do it right, you can take anything off in a sexy way. But the butt in particular, I think that would be an extreme challenge.
Well, especially since you have a hard time taking the butt off by yourself.
We should challenge our burlesque dancer friends to take the butt off in a sexy way.
Oh, goodness.
If any of you want to take on this challenge, you can try the butt. Because I would love to see if anyone can actually make that happen.
But I'm like, sometimes I'm wearing, like, tights and shapewear and socks and stockings. Like, I'm thinking of when I'm wearing even, like, Saris, which pretty looks like a small outfit to begin with. I mean, yeah, the shirt comes, like, right off super easy. That's not a big deal. But I'm wearing boots and socks and cut-up tights and skin tone tights and shorts, like, all underneath of this skirt that I have on, which goes underneath a jacket and belt. And I'm just like, that's so many layers coming off the same section of my body just so I can get this nice layered look and still be comfortable.
Well, and getting a corset off isn't sexy either, unless you're going to unlace the entire thing to get it off.
Right, which is not how you take corsets off.
No. So, I mean, I guess for this particular activity, you could just you could unlace the whole thing.
I'd probably just leave it on.
But
honestly, at that point,
that would get, like, so awkward. You wouldn't be able to, like, move your waist.
Well, I didn't say it would be awkward. But I think it would look better.
Or, I mean, you could always demonstrate with giant elf ears like our one friend did, and they would just bounce back and forth and back and forth.
So the first time that we did this panel, we had one of our friends on, and they like to cosplay as Jack from Jack and Dexter. So they've got the huge ears that go as part of the costume, and they were wearing said ears at the time because we were all in cosplay at that exact moment. So we had Jack, we had Zen and 707.
Yes.
And, Tony? Was Tony there?
For a brief period, yes.
Yes, Tony came and joined us too. So Jack's sitting there and is like, can you just imagine how this would look? And then they started bobbing their head back and forth and the ears were just bouncing with them. So, of course, the entire rest of the panel, we would look over at them and then just start bobbing our head. And they're like, I hate you guys so much. We're like, we love you too.
They still hate us for that because we'll still do that to them when we see them.
They hate us with all the love in the world, though. I mean,
we love you and Dead Toasty.
Yes. It was a good time.
That was probably the best reaction ever to this question still.
But no, none of my, I can't particularly imagine that any of my like full costumes that I like to wear are particularly attractive to take off in any function. And also bodily fluids, gross, like expensive. I have very expensive fabrics that are difficult to clean. No, thank you.
Can you imagine trying to take a binder off in a sexy fashion? Like the over the head kind? If you've never worn a binder until you really get acclimated to getting them on and off, you will legit get stuck in your binder.
Stuck.
I also challenge our burlesque dancer friends to sexily take off a binder.
One of the over your head kind.
Yes, please. I want to challenge you to do this. I know y'all need some fun stuff to do right now. So let's do a challenge where you need to sexily take off a silicone butt and or a binder.
Oh, good. I can't imagine that the bra clasp ones, the clasp all the way down the front, are particularly attractive either because you start popping those out and then it's just like, boom.
Well, that's true because they're not exactly the easiest things to get on and off either.
No, they're a bit of a struggle, especially if you're like me and you have to like use the first row and then after you get it secured on the first row, then move it over to the second row so you get the extra flat. Yeah, it's a treat.
It just more will explode once you get to a certain point.
It does. It really does. Like there's no containing it. It just, there they go. I'm actually really impressed that the hooks have lasted as long as they
have. That's true. You've had that binder for a while now.
Yeah, I don't wear it too often, though, so that's probably why.
Well, and we'll do an episode on crossplay here in the near future, so we'll talk more about binders
and
then.
All of the joys of wearing binders.
Yes, oh, and good. All the different kinds of binders I own, because I own, like, four different kinds.
Well, you just have one for every occasion.
Well, I do, because I do a lot of crossplay, so I need multiple binders.
It's true. Well, that, and if you're going to crossplay more than once over the course of the weekend, then you obviously don't want to wear the same one the
right.
entire time, because that's gross.
That is. So if we think that this is not a good way to hit on a cosplayer, what would be a good way to hit on a cosplayer?
Let's see. Shameless complimenting.
That's true.
usually works for most of the cosplayers I know. A lot of cosplayers have imposter syndrome, so you need to make sure it's not so over the top that they think that you're being super fake. You need to include enough where it's solid and real sounding. But yes, most of the cosplayers I know love compliments and it turns them into butter.
Well, and if you enjoy the fandom that they're cosplaying from, you can always open up a conversation with a question or a comment in regards to that fandom too.
And if their cosplay looks like it was handmade, you could definitely compliment them on their crafting skills because they love to hear that.
I actually have a couple really fun pickup stories from when I lived in New York.
Oh, good. So please share.
So many, many, many years ago, I lived in New York City and I worked for Midtown Comics in Times Square. Which is an adventure if you've ever been a girl who works for a comic book store. Because you will either get hit on constantly or asked if you actually know anything about comic books.
Fake fan.
Yeah. So it'll usually be in between there. I was their manga expert. That was why I was hired, was to help the parents and the teen girls when they come in pick manga out. Well, and that was before they allowed us on the floor, because we originally, girls weren't on the floor because we couldn't maneuver the comic book boxes as easily as the guys. And so for stocking purposes, until they figured out that when we were on the floor, more books got sold, and that kind of flipped. But there were a couple, so like for Halloween, got to dress up in costume. So I came as Supergirl, and my boss actually had to keep me behind the register the entire time because of how many people were trying to come up to me. And then we ended up with a line just for my register because all the comic book geeks wanted to come and talk to Supergirl, and they had to like maneuver things around. And then there was a little girl that came in the comic book store who wanted to see me. And so I had to come out from behind the register with two of my like coworkers to make sure that like the guys left me alone so I could see this kid.
They were your bouncers.
They were my bouncers. But my absolute favorite pickup story of all time, of my entire adult life, was when this was about the time where we were now allowed to be on the floor and we were helping sell books, right? So there were a lot of series that we were pushing at the time. So this was the time of when Civil War came out, Runaways, Wolverine, that kind of era for the graphic novels were getting pushed. And at this time, Runaways Volume 2 had gone out of print. For some bizarre reason, randomly, Volume 2 is out of print. So I had been helping this guy like pick out books, and I had mentioned this at some point. And the next day, this guy comes in with Volume 2. And he's like, hey, I saw this at a bookstore and I remembered that you didn't have this for your collection. So I got it for you. And, you know, if you'd be interested, my number's written in the back. And I was totally impressed and felt so bad that I had to look at him and go, that's really sweet, but I'm so sorry I'm dating someone.
Aww.
I still have that book, though.
So you still have his digits?
It's in the book. I mean, it's in the back of the book. But by far, totally impressed. If I had not been dating someone, I probably would have taken this guy up on it because I was really impressed that obviously he was listening and thought to do something like that nice. Like, that was just really cute. So kudos to you, guy who wrote his phone number in the back of a graphic novel for me.
Of course, the miscreant in me is like, should we call this number?
No, I'm not.
What are the chances that he still has the same phone number?
This would be like,
what are the chances?
No, because this would have been like 15 years ago.
And?
Because I was like 22.
I mean, really, so what are the chances that he still has this phone number?
So it would have been like 12 or 13 years ago. Like,
well, I didn't say you were going to call him and try to hook up. I just meant you could call and see if it's the same guy.
Oh, no. I mean, I could.
If you think that Elle should call this guy and record the conversation... I'm just throwing it out there. We could get it from his perspective and see what other ways that he hit on cosplay girls.
He probably doesn't remember that he did that like 12 or 13 years ago.
Or maybe he thinks about it and every time he reads Runaways and he goes, I wonder what happened to that girl at Midtown Comics. I'm just saying.
My adventures in New York.
Maybe he's not even in New York anymore. Who knows?
Probably not, because New York, like, people don't stay there very long, usually.
It's a fleeting, passing moment.
Well, you run out of money because they don't pay anything.
Well, you know. So everybody saves up their money, goes to New York, runs out of money, and then leaves.
Absolutely. That's exactly how that works.
That sounds like a vicious cycle.
That's what happened to me.
Okay. I mean, that's fair.
And then I became an occupational therapist, so.
Well, that's unrelated.
Do you have any funny pickup stories?
Oh, goodness. I'm trying to remember.
I don't think you have as frequency of being picked up as I do.
I really don't. in general. Well, and I will say, as far as, like, the cosplay stuff goes, pretty much, like, cosplay has always been a hobby of mine, but it's always been kind of, like, a secondary thing, I suppose. Like, I've never met anybody through cosplay that I was dating, so all of my dating happened outside of con, so they weren't necessarily people I met at con. Although, my friend ran off and moved to, my roommate actually met somebody at a con and then ran off and moved to another state
with
them.
Oh, that's right!
So, I mean,
oh, but,
there's
but
something.
She's an adventure and I love her.
She is an adventure. They are no longer together, but she did stay there. So we go and visit from time to time. But yeah, no, she totally met her ex-boyfriend at a con and left me shortly thereafter. It was very sad, but I survived. But yes, she is an adventure and she probably would have a ton of hit on stories, actually probably both ways, because she would have been willing to hit on other people just as much.
Can we have her on the show at some point?
I'm sure that we probably can. I'm sure that we probably can. We'll just have to ask. But yes, she is an adventure. She is one of the reasons why you are not allowed to have signs at ASIN, by the way.
That's right.
Sorry. Because she was selling kisses for a dollar. And it wasn't necessarily a problem that she was doing it. It was a problem because then the miners were walking around with signs that said, "We'll do anything for Pocky." Yes, so kisses were a dollar. And then I want to say she was giving out French kisses for $5. But if she really liked you, she would make out with you for free.
I love her.
And so I don't know what the criteria was for making out. If it was she liked you before you kissed, or she thought you were a good kisser, then she would just do it because it was fun. But, you know, girls gotta make a living. Whatever.
We just have to have her on the show.
Yes, she is an adventure. That's why we were such good friends. Because life was never boring.
Absolutely not.
No. Nope, I love Rose. She's one of my favorite people. So... One of my favorites.
I want her actually, on our show to tell all her crazy con-related tales, because there's a lot of them.
Well, and our high school boyfriends were dating is actually how we became friends. And then when her and her ex-boyfriend broke up, then we just stayed BFFs, which was totally fine. But no, most of my hitting on didn't usually happen when I was in cosplay or in a con-related setting, so.
I spent a lot of my cons fighting off guys from my friend when we went to conventions.
She was so sweet and naive.
It was more that, like, the abundance of guys that would hit on her was so extensive, and she was just such a polite person that it was really hard to get rid of them. And so I would run around with her to help get rid of these guys. It was like she was just a guy magnet. And they would just flock to her to...
Well, all of our guy friends had a crush on her. So, I mean, that's
valid.
Oh,
come on. Everyone had a crush on her.
Didn't you guys have to pretend to be dating at one point so that people would leave
Multiple
her alone?
Multiple times. We would have to walk around and hold hands at the con so that the guys would go away. And I feel like nowadays that would have the reverse effect. But, like,
I mean, especially with these people randomly DMing strangers asking them if they have sex in costume. Yeah.
Right. But, like, back in the day, it kind of got guys the hint that, like, she wasn't available to them. And I mean, a lot of times we ran around with our guy friends and that helped a lot to keep them away. But then you also had, like, back in the day, you had the yaoi paddle problem, too, where, like,
ooh,
people
yeah.
would just run around and smack you with yaoi paddles if they thought you were hot. Because I remember my ex-boyfriend dressed as Squall getting whacked a couple times with a yaoi paddle, so.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes, you know, you end up with wholesome hitting on each other's stories, and I do have one from one of our longtime listeners for today. So, Sugar Song Neko and Bitter Step Puppo are both very talented cosplayers who we have met doing Minnesota conventions. Sugar Song Neko is the one that I personally have a lot more interaction with and have chatted with a lot in person. They are an extremely talented crafter as well as a photographer. I'm always telling Sugar Song that when we finally end up again at a convention together, that we absolutely want to book them for a photo shoot. Please go find them on Instagram. Their Instagram is SugarSongNeko. So it's SugarSong_Neko. And we'll have their link in the description as well as in our Instagram post. But their photography is out of this world, which I think is precious because Sugar Song and Bitterstep actually met each other doing photo shoots.
Aww.
Their true feelings during a photo shoot. So I have a story from Sugar Song and Bitterstep. Bitterstep and I had our first kiss on a shoot. We were cosplaying our OTP and we really liked it, being both closeted queers and having hard crushes on each other. We kept coming up with shoots for shipping characters and shoots just so we could kiss each other more. After about a year and a half, my BFF and our photographer finally got fed up with the slow burn relationship and being the third wheel, so she pointed this all out. We just stopped doing that and decided to date for real, much to our photographer's relief, of not always having to be the third wheel on every shoot.
That's
Isn't
awesome.
It cute?
I love it. I love it. That's great.
Well, that's one of the, like, in general, photo shoots, you will learn so much about yourself. Because yeah. A photo shoot allows you to kind of be free from the constraints of, like, what is expected. And you can either go into and become a character. You're going to learn a lot of different things about, like, you as a person and what you are and are not comfortable with and what things make you feel, like, confident and strong. And sometimes you're also going to learn more about your sexuality when you're in a photo shoot like these two.
That's funny. That's adorable and I love
it. It's so cute. Well, and it's also one of those where, like, kissing on camera is super awkward.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. So it's not nearly as natural as it is in real life. Because you have to make sure your heads are positioned in, like, just so a way that it doesn't look off. And then you have this other person, like, a couple feet away from you with a giant camera in your face. So it's really hard to get, like, a natural-looking kissing photo.
To be fair, the rule of photography is the more uncomfortable you are, the better the shot looks.
It's true, but I feel like, for some reason, with kissing photos, you can tell when, like, the two people didn't have enough time to be comfortable. And then it kind of...
Yeah.
You can kind of see it through the photos.
Oh.
I don't know. We've had a large amount of kissing shoots in the past year, so...
Eh, whatever.
Although the first time, we did it on accident, so... Colossal Con, the first time we went...
Yeah, I don't even remember.
You don't remember
that's how memorable
how we
it was.
Accidentally kissed each other at a photo shoot at Colossal Con.
I mean, I believe that happened, probably.
Because we were doing Haruka Michiru.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
wanted us to look like we were going to kiss, and then we accidentally kissed each other instead.
And we did it on accident. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
It's fine.
You can tell how much we care, oh, well. Right, guys?
Yep.
But it is like an... It's kind of awkward.
Like, eh, whatever.
You know, we've gotten used to it over time. It's gotten a little bit easier with just having the camera in
yeah,
front of your face.
I really just don't even think about it. It's just kind of whatever.
No, it's easier when you're, like, in character and you're not paying attention to the photographer, and then you get a lot more natural shot.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people get self-conscious about that kind of stuff anyway. Well, and a lot of people don't like kissing in public regardless.
Well, and that's kind of like, that's kind of me. I get a little awkward because I don't like kissing in public. So.
Well, and then if the person, like in this particular case, I'm assuming that they had some sort of like somehow they got hooked up to do this initial
OTP shoot. They were friends first.
To begin with. Well, yeah. And I don't know if that would make it, like, more awkward or less awkward. Like, I don't have a wide realm of experience.
More.
Randomly. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. No.
Because then you have the added personal level, whereas if it's somebody completely, like, an acquaintance or a stranger, then it's 1,000% just... this is a professional thing.
No, it's totally more awkward when your friends was having been someone who also has had to kiss a lot on stage.
Oh, yes.
It's totally more awkward when your friends with someone you have to kiss on stage and then you're like, or in front of a camera and you're like, oh shit. I felt something from that.
Elle, are you trying to tell me something?
Well, we're already married, so.
Yeah, close enough. Yes, you guys miss out on some of the stuff because we're not recording the second that we come into the room. So currently, as we've discussed, I'm in the process of getting my house ready to move. But for the time being, my little remote recording studio is in the closet of my crafting station. So, yeah, the Hubs comes in and he's like, you're in the closet. And I was like, yeah, I'm hanging out in the closet with Elle. And that's the extent of the conversation.
That's also expected.
It's to be expected. It's to be expected, really, at this point. Oh, well, this episode started out as, like, skeevy and then moved into totally wholesome content.
I know. I'm going to put a timestamp in the description for the wholesome content so that those that are old enough for the majority of this episode will be able to jump forward to the wholesome content. Because I do just think that this story is precious, and it's also one of the things that I really love about the cosplay community in general is there's a lot more freedom and acceptance in the community, and so you get to learn a lot more, not just about yourself, but about, like, different people and different beliefs and different ideas in general in, like, a really safe space.
Yeah. That's fair. And I would agree with that. For the most part, I mean, you're going to have your bad apples in any community, but for the most part, it's a good positive experience for those involved. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it.
So if you'd like to check out their work, their handles again are sugarsong_neko and bitterstep_puppo at Instagram. And I will put their links in our description and in our Instagram.
Good, good. Well, I think we should totally end this on this high note that we have going on right here, because I got the worm and fuzzies, and I don't think anything else can top that right now.
If you have heartwarming love stories that you would like to share, please DM them to us, because I think it would be amazing to do an entire episode about heartwarming content of that nature.
Good. Good, good. Well, guys, I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Elle.
We are Lovey Cosplay.
And this is Shit Cosplayers Say.
You've been listening to Shit Cosplayers Say, an LVC production. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at PodcastSCS. Our website is LoveyCosplay.com. Have a fun, crazy con or cosplay-related story? Absurd cosplay question, or just something in general to share with us? Email us at podcastscs@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, just because you can, doesn't mean you should.